Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with John Seal, Chief Management Officer of the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation. And joining us in our conversation is Dennis Kayser.
John, we're going to shift gears a little bit now and talk about the programs that the PBGC supports. So can you tell us about the single and the multi-employer pension insurance programs at the PBGC?
Sure. Those are the two programs that we do insure. The single employer program, and there are almost 30,000 of those across the country, are typically sponsored by a company. Often they are collectively bargained with their union. And they provide benefits to retirees, normally based on age as well as on years of service in terms of working for the company. The company funds the pension plans. The workers typically do not make any contributions towards this kind of a plan. This is also the plan that years ago our parents thought of when the sort of the three-legged stool for retirement was always described: a Social Security, personal savings, and a pension plan. That's typically what we were talking about. The company then also assumes all the risks in terms of investing the assets of the pension plan to pay benefits for retirees. The multi-employer program is one where a union typically is represented among several companies in a certain industry, for example, the trucking industry. And so there's a board of directors, usually with union membership, company membership. The benefits are usually much less than a single employer plan, but the structure of the pension program itself is similar. The benefits are based on years of service, age.
So if I'm an employee, can you tell me how I would see pension insurance working for me?
As an employee, normally you would have to work for a company for a certain number of years, say maybe 5 years, 3 years, depending on the terms of your pension plan documents, to become vested. And so from a company's perspective, having a defined benefit plan is a way to hopefully attract and retain employees over a longer period of time, because the longer you serve, generally, these kind of pension plans will provide a better benefit the more years of service you have with the company. From an employee's perspective, it's definitely something that all workers need to think about in terms of the future, and think about whether they can count on an additional source of income once they do retire. As we've had a more mobile world in terms of workers, of course, the companies have turned to using 401k plans, defined contribution plans, because their costs are less, because employees can look at their own accounts in terms of what savings have built up in their 401k plans. But all the investment risk is on the employee, not on the company, as unfortunately, you know, workers in Enron found out when they lost so much with their 401k plans.
John, you mentioned Enron, and we've got an understanding of a pension insurance right now, but can you tell us about a specific scenario where a pension plan would have failed and then actually the support or the assistance that PBGC actually provided?
Typically, when a pension plan fails, it's as a result of a company's downward spiral, if you will, in terms of its own financial health. What happens typically is that there are a number of years in which the company is not adequately funding the pension plan in terms of its own contributions. And at that point, then we will have been monitoring any company pension plans that we believe are underfunded, and have interactions with the company long before we would think about terminating a pension plan. But once we've reached that point, and actually shortly before that, we often will go out to the company and we will visit with the individuals who are responsible for administering the company pension plan. It may be an office within the company. It may be a third party that's administering the plan, just to understand the terms of the plan documents, who the covered participants are, and to also assess the records of the plan administrators. At the point where we then make the determination that a company can no longer support the pension plan, and a record has to be built to support that case, then we would send out public notice through the newspapers that we would be planning to terminate the pension plan. We'd be notifying the company, the union. We would then quickly move to obtain the records. And that's important for us because we basically want to, in taking over a pension plan, to not have any disruption in, say, the monthly retirement checks that are going out to retirees. So that is always of paramount importance to us. It then takes us a while, though, to fully complete the processing of any pension plan. The reason for that is many times they're tied up in bankruptcy proceedings, so we don't know what all the assets really are going to be for a pension plan until the bankruptcy is concluded. There may be gaps in the pension records. That happens if a company's downward spiral has gone on for a while and, say, they've laid off employees, including maybe some employees of the pension administration office, and so the records begin to get spotty on us. So there's a lot that goes into data capture when we take over a pension plan. For larger pension plans, we then try to go out and have, if you will, town hall meetings with the participants to let them know who we are, what our benefit guarantees are all about, what we do insure and what we don't insure, because there are sometimes elements of pension plan documents that we do not insure, and so they need to understand that. And then to talk about the processing of the plans and how they can apply for benefits. For those folks who are not yet retired in plans that we've trusteed, they're still of working age, not working for that company, but they've gone off to find other jobs. We will eventually send them an estimate of what their retirement benefit will be once they do decide to retire, and that's to help them in terms of their own life planning. And then we will follow that up later with an actual benefit determination for them. That's a kind of a high-level synopsis, if you will, of how we would process a terminated pension plan. That is what we do for a single employer plan that terminates. On the multi-employer side, which is a smaller program, about 1,600 plans across the country, there we do not trustee pension plans. We do not take them over and administer them. What we do is we provide financial assistance or a loan to them so that they can continue to administer and pay out all the benefits that are due.
Is there a rule of thumb, just to continue Dennis's example, if I'm an employee, how much of the percentage of what I was promised I will get once the plan becomes trusteed?
It varies, but I think our latest records would show that over 90% of the participants in the plans that we've taken over receive their full benefits. You have in some select industries, such as the steel industry, more generous benefits promised by the plans but not covered by our law.
And earlier we talked about the relationship between the PBGC and other government agencies, and I'm just curious now, as you were describing that, how PBGC would work in these scenarios with things like Social Securities and other such places.
We do share some information with other government agencies. Social Security, for example, helps us out on what we call our missing participants program. If you remember, I said that sometimes the records that company plan administration offices keep get outdated. Well, we find actually that in some cases they lose track of participants. They've left the company perhaps before the plan terminated. They've moved, and over time the plan administrators have lost them in terms of knowing where their current address is. And so we go through a whole series of locator steps to try to find these people. And one of them is that we check with Social Security Administration in terms of, are you paying them benefits now, Social Security benefits, and so that we can get the address and find these folks. So that's an example of the type of coordination we have with other agencies.
That's interesting, especially trying to find people who are owed money. The management focus of this administration is laid out in the President's Management Agenda. How's the PBGC doing with the issues laid out in the President's Management Agenda? We'll ask John Seal of the PBGC to give us his perspective when the Business of Government Hour returns.